The Church of God the Eternal presents a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, April 8th, 2009.
Well, good evening, brethren, on this beginning of the seven-day Feast of Unleavened Bread, this night to be much observed. Here we are gathered together to fulfill the very command of God to gather together and to celebrate the beginning of this seven-day feast. And so before we eat, before we partake of the physical benefits with our brethren, the fellowship and the food now, which is part of that Sabbath celebration for this first high day, we want to just go through a short reminder of the purpose and the meaning of this night and the overall plan of God to make sure that we continue to remember the significance spiritually of what we're doing and how important it is in the very plan of God. Recognizing the instruments of God, the means by which God has worked with his people, has always been a challenge, and it's always been a great stumbling block for the very called of God. God's use of Moses in interfacing with Israel is a type of the way which he works. And so very briefly tonight, we want to go through and look at that. Moses was selected by God to lead Israel with authority. Notice Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 4, and beginning in verse 11, we read, "And the Eternal said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?" Because here, Moses was balking at fulfilling this commission of God to actually go down to Egypt and to send this message to Pharaoh and to the Israelites. He was afraid, as any of us would be if we were put in that situation, and he didn't want to do it. And God says to him, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Eternal? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." He's saying, "Moses, I know you're a weak individual. I made you, and I know everything about you, and I realize that by nature there is no way you could do what I'm asking you to do, but that's not the point." He's saying, "I'm going to inspire you, and I'm going to lift you up and give you the capacity to accomplish this mission, because it is the work of God." And he said, Moses said in reply, because he still wasn't convinced, he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send." Meaning, he's saying, "Oh, God, please definitely send someone to deliver Israel. Just don't let it be me." Verse 14, "And the anger of the Eternal was kindled against Moses." God is getting frustrated with him because of his feet dragging. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him." Here's God's instruction, telling Moses to speak unto Aaron, "and put, thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do." God is saying, "Moses, I am sending you, but I'm giving Aaron to you as a spokesman. Now you teach him what I've taught you, that he can say the words. But through the both of you in that relationship of authority, then I will complete this purpose to give salvation to my people." Verse 16, "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Now, was he saying that Aaron was supposed to now look to Moses as God instead of God? Obviously not. And yet, by the instruction of God, what he was saying was, Moses is going to give direction to Aaron in the name of God. And Aaron is going to accept the instruction of Moses as coming not from the man, but coming from God. That's what he means, that thou shalt be to him, Moses should be to Aaron instead of God. There's a delegated responsibility there that God was going to use to fulfill this purpose, to bring Israel out of Egypt. God did provide a means for the people to know that Moses was legitimate. Now, he didn't just expect them, a carnal people, to accept on face value. He did provide signs. Because notice, continuing in verse 17, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." God has always provided a means for his chosen people to know and to distinguish the legitimate servants of God from the pretenders and the counterfeits. And so when we're talking about this exodus that took place out of Egypt on this night to be much observed, God provided the means for the Israelites to be sure. You can read it for yourself in the first seven verses of this chapter 4 that we've been reading from. The signs previously given to Moses by God, including the staff that was going to turn into a snake at his bidding, the leprous hand that Moses was going to be able to call upon, and the water turning into blood. Now, which is, all of this is confirmed. Look at verses 8 and 9. We'll read that very briefly. "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe you." And the natural tendency of human beings is not to believe, especially now here. Moses is going to walk down there with Aaron, and they're going to claim to be coming with a special message from God, and the majority of them were rightly going to look askance at them and say, yeah. But God was going to back them up and provide the means for their credibility. "Shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." So God gave him three signs in succession that he could use for a carnal people to help demonstrate that these men really were being backed up by a powerful force who could do miracles. "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." And so Moses did perform all of these signs in the sight of Israel as well as the Egyptians, and they certainly then did get the attention of that entire nation. What was the final proof, however, of the legitimacy of Moses and Aaron as instruments of God? You know, in spite of Pharaoh and his sorcerers who tried to copy and to confuse and to make it appear that they had the same powers that Moses had, God made a distinction, did he not, to separate the legitimacy of his servants from those counterfeits of the world under Satan's inspiration. And so here let's read Exodus 12, beginning in verse 21, as we always do on this night, a reminder of the miracles that God wrought in Egypt to pave the way for the exodus of his people out of that nation. Exodus 12 and verse 21, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Eternal will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped." And so the original Passover, symbolizing what we kept last night, the ultimate arrival of Jesus Christ, who would spare us from death through his perfect sacrifice. And therefore, being protected under his blood, the sign of his blood, to ancient Israel, it was struck on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the death angel, which would have required their lives for their sins, passed over them because of that blood and spared them, giving them hope for life in the future. And we understand the significance of those symbols. And so the Egyptians paid the death of their firstborn, all in the land, both of animal and of human beings, because they were not under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Symbolically, physically then, they suffered death to make the point of this auspicious event in God's plan. Verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. It signifies, brethren, the fact that all human beings, no matter how great or lofty in their position in this world, under the evaluation of human beings, or how lowly, none of them can escape the judgment of God. And they are all subject to death, the ultimate death, if there is not an intercessor for them. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. He finally capitulated. The arrogance of this human king representing the power of Satan was defeated, and God made an example of him and of that entire nation. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Yes, they are. Without the intervention of a mighty God on their behalf, they are all dead. All human beings then will suffer that death penalty. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. So here was a slave people dominated absolutely by a nation who had all power physically to control them. And God, by the miracle of his power, brought them out and made them a free people. And he did so through the work of Moses and of Aaron, his chosen human instruments, through whom God worked to humble this great king and all of its people. And by that very work, my dear brethren, was the most auspicious exodus accomplished in the plan of God, as a symbol for the work that he is doing now to save mankind through a first fruits harvest of which we are a part. Likewise, brethren, you and I require a miracle of the intervention of God if we are going to have the hope of life, and if we are going to escape the very bonds of Egypt and of Babylon, then it's going to take the miracle of his Holy Spirit working upon our minds to help us defeat then the shackles which come automatically through pursuing the carnal inclination. But likewise, brethren, it's through a work which he has done through human servants to perform that miracle. In verse 40, and the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt. They were set free from their bondage by the miracle of God. It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so we observe it even according to that ordinance which has never been done away. The New Testament church likewise celebrating tonight the beginning of this 7-day feast of unleavened bread, this high holy day which began just a few minutes ago at sunset. And we likewise now are celebrating the gift of God to set us free from the shackles of our human carnality in this Babylonian world. That, brethren, which was made possible by the work which God did likewise through human servants in these last days, beginning with that chosen servant, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, through whom God revealed this way of life. And as we believe, through the work of Mr. Raymond Cole, who continued to hold fast when the majority of Israel went apostate, and to teach us the significance and the deeper meaning of those emblems which we were given so long ago. And hopefully you believe, brethren, that there is a continuation of that ministry today, likewise faithfully holding fast, receiving the power, the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to shepherd this flock. And so wherever you are around the world, keeping this night to be much observed, no matter how scattered we are physically upon the face of this globe, and yet we have much to celebrate in spite of our trials because we live in this world, and yet to know that we are under the sign of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that in keeping the Passover appropriately last evening, now we keep the beginning of this 7-day festival of unleavened bread. It is a night to be greatly observed of the true and the faithful people of God.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, April 8th, 2009.